About two dozen fishermen are packed into the office of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association. A table is in the middle of the room, but nearly all of the fishermen are sitting in chairs that line the walls. Among the makeshift circle is Sam Cotton, the commissioner of Fish and Game, and Scott Kelly, the director of the Division of Commercial Fisheries. Cotton tells the group that in general, the Department of Fish and Game has a lot of different funding sources, except for the Division of Commercial Fisheries, which is always at risk.
When you look at Comfish, they're primarily living on general fund dollars, which is what the legislature measures their success in cutting, is how many general fund dollars have been cut.
The fishermen ask about recent cuts to herring management. The Division of Commercial Fisheries trimmed down its herring budget in Southeast by $210,000. The state won't open areas to commercial herring fishing unless there are spawn assessments being done. Some fishermen want to know if the state could use other methods without relying on expensive divers. Longtime fisherman Mickey Knight suggests using aerial surveys for mapping spawn, like they used to do years ago. Here's a back and forth between him and Director Scott Kelly.
They could save a lot of money if they didn't monkey around with the diving.
We have to dive.
Why do you have to dive?
That's their stock
system. You've always told us this for like 30 years, no, or 25 years. When I started with Jeff Butt in 1978, they didn't dive.
Kelly says they need the diving assessments because just estimating the mileage of spawn from the air doesn't work. He uses the herring season in Sitka as an example. He says the preliminary data they are gathering from divers now shows that although there were miles and miles of spawn this year, it was thinly spread.
So that's the problem. If we don't go look, and if we just manage it on mileage, then we would grossly overforecast and overharvest.
Some divers are also in the room. They ask what it would take to get more diving done on major herring spawning events.
Under what conditions would we ever, get any funding back for? Would we have to see like 20 miles of spawn or something, and all of a sudden, okay, the next year we can dive on it? Or so under what conditions would we actually see diving happening? I guess
more revenue and more budgets.
The only Southeast herring stocks being assessed right now are Craig and Sitka, which are both seine fisheries. Kelly says he has to weigh the value of the fisheries when his division is trying to make cuts. Other areas, like Ketchikan and Seymour Canal, just aren't as valuable commercially.
We're not in disagreement. I want to dive those areas. We will do everything we can to dive those areas. I understand completely the unfairness of bagging out on the set gillnet fisheries and saving the other two. I totally get that.
Besides herring, the local fishermen also want to discuss the observer program for longliners of halibut and sablefish. It's not a hugely popular program with fishermen because it requires them to take along a designated person to watch the fishing and document the catches. And fishermen help pay for the program through fees. They're wondering, why isn't the program getting cut? And why are they having to fill out surveys on their catches and get observed? The observer program is run through the Federal North Pacific Management Council. Commissioner Sam Cotton is a voting member of the council. He tells the fishermen that they've gotten good data from the program. He says halibut fishermen catch other species too, and they want to keep track of that.
We're getting good information from the longline fleet now that we weren't getting before.
The local fishermen say that as longliners, they have less bycatch than the trawlers in the Gulf of Alaska, which drag the bottom of the ocean. They say their fleet should have fewer observers, and the trawlers should have more. And some say they don't mind paying.
That I don't mind paying for it because those fish up there are our future. We need to save
them. They move your direction.
They come here.
Cotton acknowledges that only 18% of trawlers in the Gulf of Alaska are being observed. He says he'd like to increase that, but it's very expensive, about $1,000 a day. He says he'd like to pursue using more electronic monitoring or video cameras to replace observers, but it's a slow process because it involves the feds, the National Marine Fisheries Service. Cotton says the observer program not only gets data on the catches, but compliance with the rules.
There's a term that's used, it's called observer effect. And if you have an observer on board, you're going to act differently than if you don't have an observer on board.
But the future of the fisheries will depend on budgets. And Scott Kelly expresses some hope. He tells the fisherman that he's noticed a different mood in the legislature this year. He says last year lawmakers wanted to know what could be cut where. But this year, he's seeing more of a hold-steady approach. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.